Okay, I'm going to call to order a regular scheduled city council meeting of the 13th of March. If we all please rise. Chief Bezak, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands by my nation and the God indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, get the call roll, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Council Agency Authority Member Torres?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Vann?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Schaffer?
Here. Okay, we're going to have a presentation from the Orange County Fire. You ready, Chris?
It's a test.
Okay, we'll let you off the hook tonight. All right, consent calendar, all items may be taken with one motion. Has anybody asked to have anything pulled? Any staff, any public, anybody?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Okay, and nobody wants to talk on any items, right?
Not that I'm aware of, no, sir.
Thank you. Motion? Okay, roll call, please.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Vann, a second by Council Agency Authority Member Taylor. I'll now proceed with a roll call vote. Council Agency Authority Member Torres?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairperson Vann?
Yes.
And Mayor Chairman Schaffer?
Yes.
Sir?
Okay, we're moving on to no public hearings, unfinished business. We're going to do item 8A. This is the second reading of Ordinance Amending California Public Employees Retirement System Contract with the City of Stanton, with the approval of Ordinance 1129.
Mayor, that would be me. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council members. Before you, this evening, we have the second reading for approval of Ordinance Number 1129. This ordinance was introduced at the regular City Council meeting of February 14, 2023. The City Council is asked to hold the second reading of Ordinance Number 1129 to amend the California Public Employees Retirement System Contract with the City of Stanton. The recommended action this evening is that the clerk read Ordinance Number 1129, entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Stanton Authorizing an Amendment to the Contract between the City Council of the City of Stanton and the Board of Administration of the California Public Employees Retirement System to remove the contract provision excluding from CalPERS membership persons compensated on an hourly basis, respectively pursuant to Government Code Sections 20305 and 20503. And the City Council is also recommended to adopt Ordinance Number 1129. That concludes staff's report. Here to answer any questions that you may have.
Anybody have a question? Okay, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 1129?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Please call roll.
Mayor, we have a motion by Councilmember Torres, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Vann. I will now proceed with the roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vann?
Yes.
And Mayor Schaffer?
Thank you. Okay, our new business is 9A, which is scheduling a budget workshop. I bet that's you.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the Council. To ensure proper time and attention is allocated for the City's budget workshop, staff is requesting the Council consider a date for the fiscal year 2023-24 budget workshop, separate from an existing council meeting date. Staff is proposing either Tuesday, May 16th or Tuesday, May 30th as viable dates. If neither of these times work, staff requests the council select an alternative date this evening. That concludes my staff report, and staff is ready to take direction.
Has everybody responded to the possible dates? I haven't.
No, nobody has responded. So I was hoping, you could all check your calendars at the dais and let us know which date is preferred.
16th
works.
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of hard for me.
Okay. You're the busy one, so you
I
decide.
I have no idea.
The other one's the 30th?
Yes, either the 16th.
Why do we have, why is this on the agenda? Can't we just schedule it?
Within your staff report.
Okay, why don't we just go ahead and receive it, and we'll get the information to her tomorrow when it's acceptable for everyone, if that's okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and table her, or do you want to go ahead and take action?
Well, staff will await direction from the council if you'll each send me your availability for each of those two dates, and then we'll select that everybody is available on.
Perfect. Is there a motion for that?
I'll move it.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, sir.
Okay, perfect. All right, we'll now go on to 9B. This is a resolution terminating the local emergency declared by the city of Stanton as a result of COVID-19. That's you, HD.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As of February 28th, the governor ended California's state of emergency. And so the city, this item is before the council to follow suit. There would be no fiscal impact. The only change would be, diners or restaurants that have any outdoor dining left that the local emergency is ending. So this is being proposed for council's consideration.
Any questions? I would like to make a recommendation that if we're going to do that, that we give them an opportunity to be notified, and we also give them a chance for a second notification and give them some time to make an adjustment in their business. What do you think is fair? 90 days? It took us that long to establish. What do you think?
Well, the various resolutions that the city already enacted during the emergency contemplated that after the emergency ended, they have 2 weeks to close that. And so certainly this council can provide more time if they so desire.
I think it's a little easier to set something like that up than to change your hours or your accommodations for your customers. I mean, to me, I think we did probably 30 days would be the max I'd be comfortable with, unless somebody wants to do less. What do you guys think?
Is it set up for 2 weeks?
14 days, that's correct.
I'm interested in 14 days.
Do we have any businesses right now actively doing outdoor dining on the sidewalk or parking area?
Everybody.
I'll let Mr. Wren answer that question.
So, as a department, we were asked to address this some months ago, and the vast majority of the outdoor dining has ceased to occur. There is, my understanding, I believe, 2 establishments that they were encouraged to turn in their plans to our development services department to see if they could make their operation of a more permanent nature, but all of the temporary dining associated with the COVID time period is done.
Pretty minimal impact
then. Yeah, but we do have a lot of people that are outside outdoor dining that are new that probably didn't go through the process with the city. There's a lot of people that do it that we're probably unaware of, and a lot of it looks like they're doing it, but they shouldn't be doing it. So how long do you think it would take, Jim?
I think 14 days. We can do another review of the situation. The last time we did review it, there was only, I believe, either 1 or 2, and they indicated they wanted to go through the process to make whatever their situation was permanent. But the vast majority of the outdoor dining has been addressed to this point. And they were all given, no fines were issued. They were given a warning and then given instruction if they wanted to proceed down a route that would lead to permanent outdoor dining to contact development services.
Okay, you wanna go with your motion there, Ellis?
Yeah, I'm fine with the way it is.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Van, a second by Councilmember Warren. I'll now proceed with a roll call vote. Councilmember Torres?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Van?
Yes.
And Mayor Shaver?
Yes. Okay, we're now on number 10. At this time, we'll have oral communications. Any member from the public may address this council, agency, housing authority on any subject matter within our jurisdiction. Provided that no action will be taken on non-agenda items, we'll allow you up to 3 minutes. And we have our first person, Clarissa. Come on up, please.
just have to get a little bit closer. It's
a little closer.
Room.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My best to follow my notes. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, City Council. My name is Clarissa Serpas. I'm the Public Affairs Manager for SoCalGas, serving as the current liaison on behalf of Emily Grant. She's been promoted and spearheading our community outreach efforts for Angeles Link. So I will be your new Public Affairs Representative at this time. So I'm here this evening actually to provide an update on the price of natural gas, which has been historically higher in recent months. And I want to share that market prices for natural gas continue to drop, driving a more than 80% decrease in March's bills as compared to January. Now, SoCalGas does not set the price for natural gas. Instead, natural gas prices are determined by regional and national markets. Now, we buy gas in those markets on behalf of residential and small business customers. The cost of buying that gas is billed with no markup, meaning SoCalGas does not profit from the movement of gas commodity prices. Now, recently, the California Public Utilities Commission approved the acceleration of the California Climate Credit, so customers should have received a credit of approximately $50 either on their February or their March bill. SoCalGas is also delaying collection activities on overdue residential accounts and will not disconnect overdue customers until further notice. We have also paused all non-residential collection billed activities. We continue to inform and offer several ways to help income-qualified customers through our bill and home improvement assistance programs, bill forgiveness plans, and the level pay program. SoCalGas recently announced $10 million in shareholder funding to provide additional relief to low-income qualified families, seniors, and small restaurant owners impacted by the natural gas market prices. Now, of the $10 million, $5 million will go towards our gas assistance fund. This is a program administered by the United Way to provide one-time grants to income-qualified customers to help pay their natural gas bills. And this contribution will help the Gas Assistance Fund essentially reach more customers with larger grants. $4 million will also go towards the relaunch, of Fueling Our Communities. This is a collaborative program with local food banks and nonprofit organizations to provide free meals and groceries to thousands of Californians facing food insecurity. And lastly, $1 million will go towards our Restaurant Care Resilience Fund. This will target small restaurants to help with improvements, upgrades, employee retentions, and rising costs. And for more information about any of these programs, customers can visit socalgas.com/newsroom. And lastly, we'd like to encourage our customers to continue to reduce their energy bills by doing a few simple tips: lowering their thermostat 3 to 5 degrees, health permitting, wash clothes in cold water, reduce the temperature on their water heater to 120 degrees, limit the use of non-essential natural gas appliances such as fireplaces, spas, and pools. So if you or a member of the community have any questions or concerns, please feel free to use me as a resource, and I will be more than happy to assist you with them.
Are there any questions? Clarissa, if you would leave a copy of that with us, we'll be able
Absolutely.
To...
Absolutely. I'll be happy to email the city manager and the city clerk for more information.
Okay, great. We can get that out for you. Anyway, great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address the City Council at this time? Okay, I'm going to close public hearing. Then we move on to written communications. We have none. Mayor, Chairman, Council, initiated business. Okay, 12A, reports and announcements. Okay, so since you're the rookie, Donald, you get to report on Americana.
Oh, yeah. So I had the pleasure to go to the Americana Awards. It was really fun. I saw the mayor, Alice was there. I had a fun time talking to Carol Warren. It was really nice. We got to see Brian Donahue receive his award. Everybody was dressed up nicely, and the food was pretty good. So, yeah, that's about it.
I have a great table away from everybody.
Oh, yeah. He was down with the rich people.
I was like,
it was a great scene, but I didn't know anybody. That's enough. Yeah.
By the way, Mayor Pro Tem Van did a great job filling in for me and taking the role of bringing Brian out. So, thank you for that.
I also wanted to report on the 10th, I attended the first annual Orange County Women Leadership Summit, which was sponsored by several entities, but notably Southern California Edison, and they invited Fiona Ma down from Sacramento, and I spoke to her about possibly getting funds to help with relocation and things like that. And she said she would look into it. So I'm hopeful we can have other sources of funding for numerous projects in our community.
Good job. Okay, anybody else? Okay, we'll move on to items for a future meeting. Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to propose a meeting where we could discuss bringing the mayor's position into line with the term limits on the council positions. And this would be for the future. It wouldn't affect you at all. But it would, it would make all five positions in the city under the same term limits. It would have to be, we'd have to vote on it. It would have to go to the vote of the public on in November of 2024. So we have plenty of time to talk about it. And it seems like it would be the right thing to do, let the voters decide. And if they decide no, that's fine. If they decide yes, that's fine.
Okay, so you want to do what now?
He wants term limits on the mayor position.
Okay, and who's going to vote on it?
We vote on it here to send it to a vote of the public.
Oh, why don't we do that? Why don't we send to the vote of the public that we do away with these districts at the same time, and we do a general election for the citywide?
We've been talking about that all.
I mean, it's ridiculous for us to have a city council person represent nine streets. I mean, it's better that, I mean, it's better to have a field of candidates citywide for these five spots.
So we can't, I don't think we can do that legally.
We can do that legally.
Mr. Mayor, Council, unfortunately, since it's not an agendized item, we can't discuss it right now in detail. We can
put it down. We're not discussing it, we're just arguing.
So we can do, Mr. Taylor, your item as addition, and Mr. Sharver, did you want to add to that? About
sure, put it on there.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to agendize the feasibility of a moratorium on vendors, street vendors, so we can figure out what's going on.
Barbara, I got that.
Okay, great. Anybody else? Okay, good. Anything for a future study session? Okay. Um, 12D, that's you, Carol.
Yeah, a couple meetings ago I brought up, if you look at Sand Park over here, that's Southern California Edison land, and they allow different people to rent the land. So we had a park there for years and years and years, and we've really utilized that park quite well. There is more Edison land on the far side of Dale, and it's available, and I thought we should grab it. The rent is minimal. I think we should grab that land and develop it when we can, because that area of Stan has no parks, and Stan's already way under where we should be. So I think it's minimal expense. We can take it as it comes as far as what we do to develop it. But I think it's a good thing to stand. So I'd like to direct staff to look into it further and see if we can nail down a rental lease with Southern California. Is it Gino? Yeah. It goes at an angle.
It's right there on Catella across from Picky Park, 8100 block.
Yeah, the area that's available is next to Dale.
Yeah. Just north of Rancho.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you talking about the easement on north of Catella between Dale and Beach?
South of Catella on Dale going south.
up a big, large property between Monroe and Casella.
It's in that area, yeah.
Yeah, that's the big, giant monster area that we tried to get before. You know, the problem is that nobody from Edison's returning anybody's calls right now. So I don't know how we're going to get a hold of them. So we want. Well, you know, the thing is that they've had such a changeover in their management positions, so it's not good.
It's Jessica Fernandez. Tony's there now, Tony.
Yeah, but Jessica's not answering anybody, anywhere, everywhere.
Well, if council gives us direction tonight, we'll certainly do our best effort to try.
We're throwing down the gauntlet for you. Okay, is everybody okay with that? I am. Okay, good.
All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Staff will move forward with the research.
Okay, Chris. The test is, are you going to get your city pin tonight or not?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, we still have a few more items before OCFA's report. We have
really? Okay, well, let's see how important that was. Okay. Do you have a report?
Oh, no. We have item 12E.
Oh, I mean 12E.
We got two more city council initiated items.
Oh, I'm
items.
Sorry. Go ahead. All right. Sorry, Don.
No worries. So last meeting, I agendized a proclamation to support Iranian-American community here in Stanton, and as well as to condemn the government or the regime in Iran. We all got an email not too long ago. I'm sure everybody saw it. Unfortunately, I can't pull it up right now because the internet's down. But basically, like a big overview, is that Iran has been cracking down a lot on protests. This all started when there was a 22-year-old woman who was shot because she was wearing her hijab incorrectly. Since then, there's been many women protesting for more rights. From what I understand, Iran has a history of a rich, like a rich history of women leadership. So this is kind of like a resurgent of these values. And yeah.
Yeah, we support Ukraine. We had something for the Myanmar people, so bring it on. Okay, so you just provided a copy of that, and
I did, yes. And
then you follow up on it. Okay, thank you.
All in favor?
Yep.
Any
opposed? Okay, Donald, parking.
All right. So I also initiated another item, which is parking. I know it's very, very controversial here in the city. If there is one thing that everybody was united on while I was campaigning during this last election cycle, was that something had to be done about this permit parking system. So I would appreciate it if, what's it called, the council, our city manager and our city attorney could compile some data around the permit parking system. And from what I understand, it'll be a multi-day discussion. Because there's so much complexity to this permit parking system. So.
Okay, can I ask a question? What aspect of the parking do you want to change?
Well, so I don't have the totality of data right now to make a concrete decision, but I think it's worth it that we take a look. One of the things that a lot of my constituents told me is that the parking permit has not been enforced. It might be, just talk around, you know what I mean? But I think it's worth it that we take a look.
Okay. What enforcement issue it looks like?
Seems like.
How did it just change? Remember, Sacramento kind of took it over, and we had to kind of back off?
I think they were saying we couldn't distinguish between multi-family places and single-family homes.
Yes,
I think that was that.
And it was the percentages.
Kamala Harris was on her way out. But the good thing that we did was we modeled our parking program after Anaheim did extensive studies and surveys and everything else. We modeled ours after theirs. But what we did is the parking permit, Anaheim's is per car. So if you have a blue Chevy, that permit stays with that blue Chevy. Whereas Stanton, we had it to where you could just put it on your blue Chevy, you could put it on your Pontiac. Move it around, and we were $5 a month cheaper than Anaheim. So we tried.
Good anything. Yeah, we're staying competitive.
The thing with parking permit that I have to explain to a lot of residents when they come to me with that issue is it's voted in by the residents. We don't force anyone to do permit parking. They have, as a community, choose and vote on it. And so they can, in the same way, choose to eliminate it. So it's up to the residents, and they're completely empowered to do that. If they decide the vast majority of us hate parking, permit parking, then they can vote, gather together and vote and say, we'll get rid of it. So it's right. Really not up to us to decide who gets parking and who doesn't get permit parking. It's really the residents. But maybe they're not clear about the process, and they feel like it's imposed. So I wonder if, I don't know if our city website explains that process clearly, but maybe it's a public service education. Announcement needed, yeah, or an education.
Yeah, because the way the parking, if I recall, the way the parking permit system was designed, it was specific to a particular neighborhood. And we actually color-coded the zones of that neighborhood. In order for it to take place in a residential area, it had to be within a particular area. And it was only voted on by the people in that area. And so we really took it out of our hands. We gave the program and made it available to meet the needs of every residential community. And the ones that needed it, got it. The ones that didn't want it, didn't get it. And so, to be honest with you, I think it's just a matter, if they're having trouble with enforcement, that has absolutely nothing to do with the permit. It has nothing to do with our program. What it has to do with the ability for our code enforcement to enforce. And the reason it's been really bad is because of COVID and because of transiency, problems without other areas of the city, dealing with all of those issues to where it really drained our staff time. Now, if we get back to some kind of normalcy, I assume that we'll be able to do better with our parking enforcement. But I'm going to tell you right now, the people that want it, they're not going to give it up, and the people that don't want it, are not going to want it. So, I mean, that's where it's always been. So I don't think we'll have to spend a couple of days on it, but I think if we refine it to what your concerns are, it will go a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time that we made any changes or looked at the permit parking system?
It was when we had the
state and the state
pushed down to us. We then had to modify sections of that portion to allow different housings, as Ms. Van had reported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when the state made this change, we had to conform to state regulations, and then we revamped the whole thing. We actually came up with a better permit, and we came up with a better process. We also did an outreach to the community, letting them know how to get it. We had meetings on it and forums. We actually had, when we used to have our neighborhood meet and greets where we discussed and explained to them how they could get a parking permit and how they could keep it or how they could get rid of it if they wanted to. So we spent a lot of time on that thing.
If I may ask, is there any data regarding how aggressively we are doing parking enforcement in the parking permit areas? And if perhaps we need to increase staffing so that the program is enforced properly?
Thank you. Related to the data as far as enforcement, in our last completed fiscal year, we actually exceeded a revenue projection in that area by over $100,000. Last week, we did a very early morning operation where we issued over 60 citations in one day. It is being enforced. Obviously, we can't attest to every time someone slows down or parks in a permitted area without a permit, they're getting a ticket, but it is being robustly enforced as indicated by the numbers there. That being said, we do receive complaints on both sides. Most of the time, we do get complaints. It's from an individual who actually was cited and then goes on a crusade related to those who have not been cited. So that's my personal experience with it, but we do enforce that directly.
But just to clarify, the $100,000, we don't profit off of that whatsoever. That just covers our costs.
Right.
And also, Mr. Torres, the thing is that we, as far as proactive, we are more reactive. And I will tell you that anytime somebody calls the city about a parking issue, that is immediately addressed. I think that takes up the bulk of our time in most cases.
I do not have the
There's a page on the website. Yeah.
12, sounds about right. I thought it was 12 to 14.
Okay. Yeah, we broke it down that way so that every little neighborhood could have a say.
And then moving forward, we made a staffing adjustment to take an individual that was working overnight and have that code/parking position full-time during daytime hours with a focus towards the end of their shift on specific enforcement for permit area.
I'm gonna make a recommendation. Since we do have this program in place and our big thing is enforcement, I would like to make a subcommittee with Donald and maybe one other council member to meet with our public safety department, and let's go over all that data, and then you can report back to the full council to see what we can do maybe to improve our enforcement and answer the questions that your constituents may have. Is that something that would work for you?
Yeah, that sounds good, and if there's any other issues, I'll bring it back. So, yeah.
Hey, is there anybody that would maybe like to serve with Donald on that? Okay, you got a buddy.
It's a team up.
Okay, so the action of the direction of council will be to form a subcommittee of Mr. Torres and Mr. Taylor, who's going to take a look at the enforcement concerns. And at that time also, we can review the overall program and where we are with it. I think that'd be great. Okay? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we get to go to our esteemed attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no idea.
Okay. Go ahead. Hannah, you're up.
Just two announcements. A reminder that we're having the FRC groundbreaking this Thursday at 9 a.m. at the FRC, which is 18122 Santa Paula. And we invite anybody who's available in the area to come on out. And of course, once that renovation is complete, we'll have a very big grand opening. Also wanted to remind people that we have our next Talk on the Block scheduled for Wednesday, March 22nd at 3 p.m. at the La Lampara Mobile Home Park at 7271 Catella Avenue, and that will be noticed as a public meeting closer to the date.
Okay, Chris, this is your pen, so it's your big chance. Anyway, we're very happy to hear from you. Go ahead.
City Council and city staff. I'll take a minute. My name is Chris Sabiziak. I am the new Division 7 administrative captain assigned to Division 7, which serves the city of Stanton here with Chief Doman. Fortunately, he couldn't be with us tonight because he's on his way up to Tulare to assist with the response to the floods. I am pleased to provide to you tonight the Orange County Fire Authority report for February of 2023. For the city of Stanton, there was 320 incidents, 10 being fires, 290 for EMS or rescues, 20 were hazardous conditions or other calls for service. In the unincorporated areas of Orange County serviced by Engine 46 and Squad 46, there were 60 incidents, 1 fire, 57 EMS and rescues, and 2 hazardous conditions or miscellaneous calls. There was 1 notable incident on February 18th. Units responded with multiple reports of smoke and fire seen at about approximately midnight, 22 hours, arrived on scene at 8300 Chapman Avenue. First crews reported heavy smoke and fire from a 2-story apartment building. In all, it took 80 firefighters to bring the fire under control and was 3 alarms. Fire investigators were unable to rule out multiple causes of the fire and have narrowed it down to improperly discarded smoking items, small electrical devices, and lithium ion batteries. In all, 10 units were affected by the fire, and those citizens were offered assistance from the Red Cross. Damage was estimated at $2 million to the structure, and $500,000 to the contents of the apartments and the residents. Our safety messages for last month, there was emphasis placed on burn safety, home escape plans, and safety in public buildings. For this month, our emphasis is on cooking safety, home heating safety, electrical safety, and household hazardous waste. As a reminder, I'd like to remind everybody that this information can be found on our website at orangeocfa.org, where you can print the safety flyers in multiple languages. As far as current events are going on, OCFA has sent multiple resources and overhead personnel to assist with the winter storm response, most specifically in Tulare County and our local mountains in San Bernardino County. So far, we've sent a Swiftwater team that consists of 17 firefighters to Tulare County. We've sent a Type 6 engine strike team to the San Bernardino Mountains, which consists of 16 firefighters. In addition to that, we've also supplemented with the San Bernardino Mountains two hand crews with 36 firefighters. And additionally, we've sent two structure specialists that are civilians that are with our FEMA Urban Search and Rescue California Task Force 5. Additionally, I'd like to thank our council members, staff, and citizens who attended our tremendously successful open house on March 4th. We had approximately 5,000 citizens and participants at that event. Couldn't be successful without the participation of our city council, staff, and citizens that we serve. Thank you for your time.
Any questions? I have a question. What do we do? I know we have a great fire alarm system that we do throughout the county. What do we do with those units after we remove them?
Are you specifically referring to the smoke alarms? The smoke alarms usually are discarded properly. The batteries go in a recycling bin at each of the individual stations and will be discarded in bulk supply once the bucket's full. As far as the plastics go, it's just discarded safely.
What about the device itself?
The device itself, the smoke alarm, it's just taken and placed in the recycling bin.
Okay. I'd like to maybe, if you could reach out back to me, I'll discuss it. There's radioactive material in those. And if you take that and multiply it by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands that go to the landfill, it might be something that OCFA should be aware of, and that maybe we can come up with a solution for taking care of that in the future.
Absolutely, I'll report back to you.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that being said, that was excellent. Dom, you want to give him his pin, please?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Thank you. That means you get to come back. Anytime. Is there any other business? Okay, everybody stay dry and be safe going home.